This is the brief on the content boundaries and disclaimers for The Wire Review by Between Plays. Now, The Wire Review does a killer job at simplifying complex company press releases and market narratives, but it's absolutely vital to understand what kind of info you are and aren't getting before you listen. Think of the show's creators kind of like sports color commentators. They make the action on the field engaging and explain the plays, right? But you wouldn't hand them the keys to manage your team's actual budget. First, let's talk about the true purpose here. The show is strictly for education, information, and entertainment. Their whole goal is to take those dry press releases and company developments and contextualize them so the narrative is actually easy to understand. Second, let's clear up their qualifications. They are absolutely not financial analysts, financial planners, or licensed investment professionals. So, if they aren't licensed pros, why tune in at all? Well, because their value is in simplifying the story and cutting through the jargon, not in managing your wallet. Finally, we got to cover your responsibility as a listener. Before making literally any actual financial or investment decisions, you must seek out the exact facts from original press releases and verified official filings, and always consult a qualified professional. Enjoy the engaging market narratives they build, but always let verified filings and certified professionals guide your actual investments.
Bridge all of it.
Yeah.
So this deep dive, it isn't just about rocks in the snow. It's about the very beginning of the energy transition supply chain.
Ground zero.
Ground zero, exactly. Because finding a relatively rare element like lithium, concentrated at over 1% in solid rock, that means geological forces have done an incredible amount of heavy lifting.
Well, let's get right into those headline figures then from this winter campaign. Specifically, there's this drill hole labeled AN2607.
Ah, yeah, the big one.
Yeah, so the release states they intersected 1.31% lithium oxide, that's I2O, right?
Right.
Over a continuous length of 90.5 meters.
Which is huge.
And this high-grade section sits within an even larger, continuous package of lithium mineralization measuring 167.9 meters across both country rock and pegmatites, averaging 1.02%.
Yeah, those are really solid numbers.
But see, my brain naturally struggles with 1.31% as a headline number. I mean, if I got a 1% on a math test, I failed miserably.
Right, you'd be held back a year.
Exactly. So if you tell me you found a massive deposit, but nearly 99% of it is, you know, just something else entirely, why are investors celebrating?
Well, it comes down to a process called fractional crystallization.
Okay, what is that?
So millions of years ago, you had these massive chambers of magma slowly cooling deep underground. And as the magma cooled, the really common elements, the silica, aluminum, iron, they crystallized first, forming regular rocks.
Right, the 99%.
Exactly. But lithium atoms, they're kind of incompatible with those standard crystal structures. They don't really fit well.
Like trying to shove a square peg in a round hole.
Pretty much. So as the regular rock solidifies, the lithium gets constantly pushed out into whatever liquid magma is remaining. And this just happens over and over.
Oh, so it just gets more and more concentrated?
Yes. Until that final remaining liquid is just hyper-concentrated with rare elements. Eventually, this highly pressurized fluid shoots up into fractures in the crust and cools into what we call pegmatite dikes.
Okay, so finding 1.31% means you've successfully intercepted one of these rare, super-concentrated fluid pathways.
Exactly. You found the vein.
Let me try to visualize what hitting 90.5 meters of this stuff actually looks like. Imagine you're, I don't know, blindly sticking a giant hollow straw down into an enormous, opaque, multi-layered cake.
I like it. Go on.
So you're drilling a 200-meter hole into the earth. And when you pull the straw back up, you discover that nearly half of the entire straw is filled with the exact premium filling you were looking for.
Right. It's not just a thin layer of icing.
Exactly. It's a massive continuous chunk of the target material.
And what's fascinating here is how that broader 167-meter package provides even more context.
The lower grade section.
Yeah, the 1.02% average.
Right.
Because they aren't just hitting one isolated vein and then hitting barren rock. They're seeing mineralization spanning across both the pegmatite dikes and the surrounding country rock.
Country rock being?
The older host rock that the pegmatite intruded into.
Yeah.
It means the system was so active that the fluids actually bled into the surrounding structures.
Wow, okay. Now, the press release also mentions a newly discovered bike below the Annius Main. It measures 6.8 meters with an even higher grade, 1.52% lithium oxide.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise for them.
But they include this specific caveat. They estimate the, quote, true thickness of this dike to be about 60% of the drilled length.
Right.
Why the discrepancy? Like, if the drill pulled up 6.8 meters of rock, shouldn't the rock just be 6.8 meters thick?
It's just a matter of geometry. These underground dikes aren't sitting perfectly flat like a tabletop.
Okay.
They're tilted, sometimes at really extreme angles because of tectonic forces. So if you drill straight down, you're almost certainly cutting through the rock diagonally.
Oh, rather than straight across it.
Exactly. Think of slicing a loaf of French bread on a really sharp bias.
Oh, right. The slice comes out much longer than the actual width of the loaf.
Precisely. So geologists use the angle of the drill and the known tilt of the rock to calculate that true thickness. So 60% just means they're mathematically adjusting that diagonal slice to give us the realistic perpendicular width of the dike.
Okay, that makes the data much more transparent. You're cutting through on a slant, so the physical ruler measures a longer distance, but the math gives you the actual volume.
Right.
But, you know, a single rich core sample is just an anomaly, unless you can prove it's part of a larger architecture.
Absolutely. One straw doesn't tell you the shape of the cake.
Right. So how does that single straw fit into the massive underground geometry?
Well, that is where the structural modeling from this 2026 winter campaign becomes really critical. They drilled about 1,500 meters of NQ core across 7 different holes.
An NQ core, that's just a specific size of the drill, right?
Yeah, it refers to the diameter. It's standard for advanced exploration because it gives you enough rock volume for highly accurate chemical assays.
Got it.
So through these 7 holes, they've defined the architecture of the Annius Main Dike to a vertical depth of 190 meters.
Wow.
To contextualize that, they've traced this rock straight down into the earth for roughly the equivalent of a 60-story building.
A 60-story building straight down. And horizontally along the strike length, the release says it stretches over 250 meters.
Yeah, it's massive.
But it isn't just a static, boring block, right? They note that the dike dips 85 degrees to the west and is gently folded inside sheared metavolcanic rock.
Right, and that shearing and folding those are the physical mechanisms that created the deposit in the first place.
How so?
Well, the older host rocks, the metavolcanics, were subjected to intense tectonic stress. Shearing basically means blocks of the Earth's crust were forced to slide past one another under immense pressure.
Like grinding fault lines.
Exactly. It creates structural weaknesses. So when those hyper-concentrated lithium fluids shot upward, they naturally followed those paths of least resistance.
And the gentle folding.
The folding acted like a physical trap. It pooled the fluids into thicker concentrations rather than just letting them disperse evenly everywhere.
Okay, so Brunswick already knew this specific area was highly prospective though, right? Back in their 2025 campaign, they hit 1.53% over 53.9 meters here.
Yeah, they definitely knew the high grade was present.
But the crucial fact they're emphasizing in this 2026 update is that the mineralization remains open at depth and along strike in all directions.
That's the key phrase.
So what does this all mean? Like, have they basically just not found the edges of the box yet?
That's exactly it. When a deposit is open at depth, it means the absolute deepest hole they drilled still ended in mineralized rock.
So they just ran out of drill casing before they ran out of lithium.
Pretty much. And open along strike means the holes drilled at the farthest northern, southern, or lateral edges still hit the dike.
It's like finding the edge of a massive underground aquifer. You know the water is flowing and your deepest probe is still wet, but you haven't hit the solid bedrock wall that contains it yet.
That aquifer analogy perfectly captures it. They know the pocket is deep and wide and it holds high-grade lithium, but they haven't hit the barren stone that marks the end of the geological event.
So they know there's a treasure chest, but they just don't know how big it is.
Right.
Well, to truly grasp the scale of a deposit that has no defined edges yet, you can't just look at the immediate drill site. You have to zoom out to the broader neighborhood it sits in.
This is a very good neighborhood.
Yeah. The press release is very specific about the regional map.
Right.
Anateco dikes sit on the southern side of a major northwest-southeast deformation zone. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
We have to look at the neighbor sitting on that exact same zone, specifically Rio Tinto's Galaxy deposit. The release points out that the Galaxy Project holds 54.3 Mt/Mni at 1.30% lithium oxide and another 55.9 Mt inferred.
Right, but before we explore those implications, we really need to clarify a massive point of terminology for you listening.
Yes, please. Because when the press release says Mt, what exactly are we measuring here?
Okay, so in the mining industry, Mt strictly stands for million tons. It is a metric of physical mass.
Right, because when people outside the industry see a capital M and a lowercase t, the mind often jumps to megatons.
Exactly, which is a unit of explosive energy yield, usually for nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
We are absolutely not talking about explosive energy here.
It's enough.
When Rio Tinto's Galaxy Project boasts 54.3 MUTT of measured and indicated resources, it means geologists have mathematically proven the existence of 54.3 million metric tons of rock holding that lithium.
And Mni, measured and indicated, that just means they're really confident.
Yes, the drill density is tight enough that they have very high confidence in that tonnage. The inferred 55.9 million tons means they have geological evidence it exists, but they just need more drilling to prove it definitively.
Okay, so 54.3 million tons plus another 55.9 million tons inferred. That is an almost unfathomable mountain of physical material.
Staggering.
And Brunswick's Ennetikow West project is immediately contiguous to Rio Tinto's claim. It's sitting right next door.
Directly adjacent.
Plus, Brunswick has their own massive asset nearby, the Mirage Project, which boasts an inferred resource of 52.2 million tons.
Right, grading 1.08%.
Going back to analogies, this feels like a high-stakes real estate play. It's like buying an undeveloped plot of land, digging your basement, and realizing your underground foundation sits on the exact same fault line as the sprawling multi-million dollar mansion next door.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that real estate analogy illustrates the concept of structural control perfectly.
Okay, structural control.
Yeah. World-class mineral deposits do not form randomly. A deformation zone, like the one both Ennetikow and the Galaxy deposits sit on, is essentially a massive geological highway.
A highway for the fluids.
Exactly. Deep down, these zones were major fault lines that allowed those superheated lithium-bearing fluids to travel upward on a regional scale.
So if Rio Tinto's Galaxy Project, with its tens of millions of tons formed along this highway, and Ennetikow is sitting on the exact same structural highway, the implication is that the mineralizing event wasn't isolated.
No, not at all. The fluids traveled through this entire corridor. Discovering that Ennetikow is constrained to the same corridor found at the Galaxy Project, it totally validates the geological model.
So they aren't just hunting for scattered anomalies.
Right, they are tapping into a regional scale plumbing system. The exact same forces that created a world-class 100-plus million-ton system right next door run straight under their boots.
But claiming you are sitting on a world-class geological highway requires bulletproof evidence, right? Especially when you're asking investors to fund operations in the remote Quebec wilderness in the dead of winter.
You need rock-solid data.
So the release details their QAQC quality assurance and quality control. They take these NQ core samples, send them to specialized labs, and the rock is crushed, dissolved using sodium peroxide fusions, and run through mass spectrometry.
Yeah, that's the gold standard.
But why go through the extreme step of sodium peroxide fusions? That sounds intense.
It is. See, pegmatites are incredibly hard, resilient rocks. Standard acid dissolving techniques often just fail to completely break down the minerals holding the rare element.
Oh, so they leave some lithium behind.
Right. Sodium peroxide fusion is this aggressive, high-temperature chemical process that completely obliterates the rock matrix. It ensures every single atom of lithium is released into the solution.
Wow.
And then the mass spectrometer measures the exact mass-to-charge ratio of the ions. When Brunswick reports a 1.31% grade, it's not an educated guess. It's rigorously tested, mathematically verified chemical fact.
And the rigor of that data is what allows company leadership to make some pretty aggressive forward-looking statements.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the CEO, Killian Charles, stated in the release that these results underscore the potential of a rapidly growing project. He specifically noted they're beginning to define a, quote, sizable lithium system at Ennetikow, Maine, placing Brunswick in an envious position relative to peers.
That statement speaks directly to their strategic positioning in the market.
Holding multiple assets in James Bay.
Yeah, because James Bay is rapidly establishing itself as one of the most prolific emerging lithium districts on the planet. And the energy transition is accelerating, right?
Right. Everyone needs batteries tomorrow.
But permitting and developing a hard rock mine takes years. So the companies that can prove they hold sizable continuous systems right now are the ones that will dictate the supply chain in the 2030s.
You hear about electric vehicles and decarbonization every day, but this is it. Before it's a shiny battery in your car, it's 90.5 meters of rock pulled from the Quebec snow.
Exactly. And Brunswick isn't just relying on Quebec either. Their exploration portfolio stretches across Canada, Greenland, and Saudi Arabia.
So they are hunting for these high-grade pegmatites globally. But looking at Anatocow right now, the release states the drilling campaign is actively pushing east.
Right.
They're taking drills into completely virgin ground where no previous drilling has been conducted, specifically targeting that regional deformation corridor.
And this raises an important question about their strategy. They already have the Animas main dike defined to 190 meters deep and open in all directions.
So they could just play it safe.
Exactly. The conservative approach would be to just drill incredibly close to the known edges, slowly and predictably expanded the boundaries. Instead, they are stepping out to the east into completely untested territory.
They're swinging for the fences.
They are making a massive bet on the structural model. They're betting that the shearing and folding that created Anais Main didn't just happen once, but repeated itself further down the geological highway.
Man, we have covered massive ground today.
We really have.
We started by looking at a single 90.5 meter drill intercept grading 1.31% lithium oxide, exploring how fractional crystallization made that possible.
Right.
Then we expanded out to the physical architecture of the NSS main dike, plunging 190 meters deep. And finally, we zoomed out to the regional scale, realizing this entire open-ended structure is sitting squarely on a major deformation zone.
A highway it shares with a 100-plus million-ton neighbor.
Exactly. Rio Tinto's Galaxy deposit.
Yeah.
So to wrap up, what's the big takeaway here?
Well, as we look at the sheer scale of the geology required to power the global energy transition, I think you have to consider the implications of Brunswick's aggressive eastward push.
Into that virgin ground.
Right. We know this specific structural corridor already connects the colossal Galaxy deposit to the Anticamp project. What happens if this eastward drilling campaign hits its targets?
If they keep finding more dikes.
Exactly. If this deformation zone continues to yield parallel, high-grade pegmatite dikes one after another as they push east, it raises a profound possibility. The James Bay region might eventually be revealed not just as a collection of isolated mining camps, but as one massive, continuous, interconnected supersystem of lithium.
A contiguous supersystem stretching for kilometers beneath the snow, holding the raw physical material required to rewire the modern world.
It really forces you to look at the ground beneath your feet entirely differently.
It really does.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. And as always, keep questioning the world around you.